You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Faithful no matter what we're going through. We could be down in the valley. We could be on the mountaintop living life. Amen. But our God, He is still God. He's still on the throne. He's still sovereign. He is still in control. Hallelujah. Amen. That's our God. That's our God. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, why don't you grab those with me? If you don't, we're going to be putting the scriptures up on the screen for you, but John chapter 7 is where we're going to turn to here this morning. John chapter 7, verse 37. Amen. So good to be in God's house once again, to feel His presence. Amen. John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And just for a few moments here this morning, I'm going to ask you this question. Who's thirsty? Amen. Who's thirsty? Amen. Why don't you set your Bibles down, lift up your hands in the air right now, and just begin to praise Him for all that He is. God, we are so thankful to be in your house once again, giving you praise, giving you glory. God, I ask right now that you would let your will be done. Lord, with your people here today, God, we cry out to you, Jesus, with a thirst, with a hunger, Jesus, for your glory, God, just to fill this place. Hallelujah. Let your will be done. We give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 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 You may be seated. I grew up on the Valley Road in Carrs, New Brunswick. Many people might not know where that is, but it's about 40 minutes from here. Little spot of nowheres, really. People have to come out to hunt. That's how deep we are in the woods. If you were to go down the Valley Road, it would turn into a dirt road. And along the side of that dirt road is a natural spring of water that has been there for who knows how long. I really don't know. My dad and I have stopped there for a drink many times. Sometimes after we've gone fishing, we'll come back and get a drink from that spring. It's clean, refreshing, cold, even on the hottest of days. There was an elderly lady who lived on that dirt road named Laura, and because she had no running water in her house, she would walk down that dirt road every day with buckets to go and fill them. And someone on our road got an idea to prank her. I will not name names, okay? We're just going to leave them anonymous. But someone on our road decided to prank her one day. They took red Kool-Aid, and they went out into that spring, and they dumped it into the spring. And Laura, she came along with her buckets like she normally would. And when she dipped her bucket in, it filled with deep red water. She threw her buckets, and she ran down the road screaming. Aside from this incident, it's been a place of refreshing for generations. Even for those who did not have access to water in their homes, it became a source of life for them. If they knew, that if I can just get to the stream, if I can just get to that spring, it will sustain me. On the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood in the midst of those who had come together for a solemn assembly. It was time for the offering of the young bull on the altar. This day would require fewer sacrifices than the days before. The Feast of Tabernacles, it began with the offering of 13 young bulls on the first day, and then each day one less bull would be offered. on this day, the last day, there would only be one offered. In total, there were 70 bulls offered in the first 6 days. But on this day, on the greatest day of all, the last day of the feast, only one would be offered. But it was the most important one for the Jews, for this young bull would be sacrificed on behalf of their own nation. On this last day, things would differ greatly from the previous six, because on this day, there would be a special prayer that would be made, a feast that was greater than those of the previous 6 days. A different song of worship would be sung, a special blessing invoked from the Almighty God, and a very special offering would be given. And on this day, there would be a special ceremony that would happen, according to Jewish tradition and law, that would usher in this last sacrifice. It all came up to this point in this story. There would be an offering of water to be poured out to the Lord. The priest would take a golden pot, and they would draw water out of the pool of Siloam, then travel through the city to the water gate back to the temple. Crowds of people would form a huge procession behind the priest. You can just imagine it with me. Huge procession of people dancing, singing, and shouting. And while they were dancing and singing and shouting, they would be reciting Psalms 113 to Psalms 118 as they entered that temple mount. It starts with Psalms 113 that starts off by saying, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations." Hallelujah. "And his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and are in earth." And in the middle of these psalms, it says in Psalms 116, it says, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." That's what they were doing that day. The symbolism of them dipping into the pool of Siloam and carrying it back to the city, it meant so much to them. And so they would shout aloud, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." And then it ends with Psalms 118 that says, "I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it." Amen. "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords." You can imagine them walking in through that temple mount and up to the altar where they had that young bull to be sacrificed. "Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And so generation after generation, they would do this act of service to the Lord on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. They would march with that priest that was carrying that golden pot of water in through the Temple Mount while they celebrated, while they sang these songs unto God. At the end of quoting these songs, they would arrive at the altar where the young bull was laid to be sacrificed. And there they would blow their trumpets. They would give a shout as the priest would climb to the top of the altar. The highlight of the ceremony came when the priest dramatically poured the water on the altar of the temple. It became known to them as the rejoicing of the house of drawing water. It doesn't sound as fancy in English as it does in Hebrew. In Hebrew, they called it Hoshana Rabbah. And so for generations, since the days of Moses, they did this. Upon that altar were two silver basins on the west. The basin was filled with water, while the basin on the east was filled with wine. This ceremony for the Jews, it meant so much. It was brought down from the time of Moses upon Mount Sinai, but to us today. To us today, looking back at them bringing that cup of salvation to pour it out before the Lord, it represents to us the pouring out of God's Spirit on us. Amen. And even the prophet Isaiah, he referred to this ceremony when he said in chapter 12, verse 2 to 6, he said, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." The drawing of water from the pool of Siloam and pouring it out, it symbolized the drawing of salvation from the wells of God's mercy and grace. And then allowing God to pour out the new wine of the Holy Ghost upon his people and filling the land with his blessings. In addition, this was the day that they prayed for the rains that they would need for the coming year so that their crops would be productive. Now, if you look at the symbolic meaning of this day with its water being poured out to ask God's blessings upon the rains that would be needed and for the pouring out of the Holy Ghost upon the people of God, we can begin to understand why Jesus chose this time and this day to stand and shout his proclamation to the Jews as they're marching in with that cup of salvation towards the altar. You can just imagine the scene that had been set up for him. Jesus shouted, "If any man thirst, ha! If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." That prophecy was being fulfilled, something that they had done for thousands of years, passed down to them from the time of Moses, was being fulfilled that day. If there was one thing that the Jews understood, it was being thirsty. They had been waiting generation after generation for God to come like he said he would. Oh, just any day now. They had written prophecies about him, handed down to them for thousands of years. Any day now. Oh, just any day now. God is going to pour out to us just like we've been pouring out to him. Lord, we long for you. Lord, we're waiting for you. Come, Lord, pour out your presence on us. That was their cry that day. Jesus, he wasn't talking about a natural thirst when he shouted those words. He was talking about a spiritual thirst. We are living in a dry and thirsty land right now. Across our city, you don't have to look very far. Across our city, across our world, people are dying for thirst. Jesus shouted out to us, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So just imagine that setting with me. The Feast of Tabernacles, it was in full swing, with dancing and shouting. This is 7 days in. They had been gathered there celebrating all that God had done, the blessings that he pours out. And on this final day, they once again come with anticipation of what God is going to do. On the final day, the crowds were filled with expectation for the Messiah and the Holy Spirit that he would bring. And at the very time of the water drawing ceremony, Jesus stood up and made this bold proclamation. Do you truly want the living waters of the Holy Spirit? Do you truly want to be filled? If anyone desires this, let him believe in me. Amen. The Messiah who would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. With those words, Jesus was proclaiming to the Jews that it was not the ceremony, it was not the bowl on the altar, and it was not the water even that was poured out that they should be looking to fill their thirst with. They should be listening to and looking to him to fill their heart and fill their life. Jesus is the giver of life. He alone is the source of life. And just as no life on earth can survive without water, Neither can the soul survive without Jesus. Let me tell you, somebody here today, if you, in you, he becomes a river of living water, the Holy Spirit, it fills your thirsty soul and fills you with all the goodness and mercy of God. He overflows your soul and blessings and springs up from within your soul as a river that will wash you, cleanse you, and make you whole. The river of living water that comes from deep inside. You may have walked into this building here this morning with a deep thirst for something, not truly knowing why you are thirsty. You don't even know what it is that you need. But there is a longing for something better, something that you haven't been able to find, something that will satisfy your search for true meaning in life and bring joy to your heart. The world, let me just tell you this morning, the world doesn't have anything that can fill that thirst. You can try to find it in relationships, but they'll only leave you thirsty for more. You've said to yourself, this can't be all that there is to life. This can't be it. All the time I run across people who are trying to fill their thirst. The reality of it all is that nothing can fill that void in your soul. Nothing but Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. You know something is missing every morning. When you wake up, you're wondering if there's more to life. Let me tell you this morning, yes, there is. Yes, there is. You need Jesus to fill that void in your soul. You can try to find it in alcohol. But when the buzz wears off, it will leave you still thirsting for more. Night after night, our local bars are filled with people who are trying to satisfy their spiritual thirst with spirits. But there is only one spirit that can satisfy. There is only one who can satisfy so that you'll never thirst again. Amen. The very thing that they thought that they could fill their thirst with only drives them deeper into despair and destruction, because the thing that they're thirsty for is spiritual and not earthly. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can mend your heart. That's an old song. And make it whole. Amen. Only Jesus can fill that emptiness on the inside. Only Jesus can take away the guilt and the shame. Only Jesus can satisfy your aching soul. Some will attempt to find a way to fill this thirst in their soul by drugs, by medication. That won't fill the void either. The thrill, the high, the euphoria will come quickly to an end. And when the thirst for more is greater than ever, the thirst is still there and it continues to grow. The flesh craves the feelings and the drugs, but the real thirst is in the soul. It's in the soul, that craving and that thirst. It must be filled with something, and we are compelled to go get something to fill it. Amen. The thirst is never satisfied. The hunger for more increases. The demon down in the soul will scream and cry for more, ever more, driving us closer to death. That's the devil's business, isn't it? To kill, steal, and destroy. And Satan will see to it that we are never really satisfied, no matter how much we take in. And there's only one answer for the thirst down in our soul. There's only one who can fill that void in our heart. There's only one way that you can have not just life, but abundant life, thriving, full of joy. The answer for your thirst is only found in Him. Amen. And so I'm thankful here this morning to say that your search is over. Your search is over. And through the words of this message, He is shouting out to you, if anyone thirst, let him come to Me and drink. He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The water of the Holy Ghost is being offered to us right now. We don't have to wait until another service. We don't have to wait until another time. Amen. Jesus wants us to come to Him right now. Amen. Let Him pour out the Holy Ghost on your dry soul. If you will give your heart and life to Jesus, He will fill that emptiness with His power, with His presence, with His mercy and His grace. He will give you eternal life and a joy and peace that this world knows nothing about. He won't leave you searching for something to fill that void. He will fill your life and your soul with His love so much that your life will become a river of living water. So who's thirsty? I hope you came here this morning wanting something more than just a normal service, wanting something more than just to sit for an hour and a half while we sing some songs and while we preach to you and go home unchanged. I hope you've come into this place here this morning anticipating that just any time now, God's going to pour out his presence again just like he promised he would. Amen. Everywhere you go, amen, people are thirsty. That river of living water. As you listen to this message this morning, don't take the attitude that so many did on that day that Jesus got up and spoke those words. The Bible tells us that in John chapter 7, verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. I know that not everyone will hear this message and respond to it the way that I've prayed they would. I realize that. Some will. They will hear the words of Jesus and they'll allow those words to sink down into their heart and soul. They'll latch onto his promise and they'll make their way to this altar at the end of the service and be forever changed by his presence. I know that that will be the case. The word of God will not return without accomplishing what he has purposed for it. Today, they will begin a new life as a new person born again by the power of God. Oh, that everyone could receive this message with that kind of attitude, but unfortunately, some won't. They won't accept Jesus' offer to come to him. Their spiritual eyes have been so blinded by the devil that they can't see Jesus for who he is, the Savior of the world. But all that they see is a man, so dry and thirsty that they are like a man wandering and dying in the desert, who sees a real oasis but thinks it's just a mirage. It's only an image of the imagination. And you say, "Well, that sounds great, preacher. But let's be real, no one can change the situation that I'm in." That man will die of thirst because he is afraid that when he reaches the water, he will find out it's not real. But let me tell you here this morning from somebody that's experienced it for themselves, from somebody who has encountered God's mercy and grace for themselves, he is real. His love is real. His mercy is real. His joy is everlasting. His blessing of eternal life is real. His promises are true. Amen. He will give you that river of living water if you want it. Don't listen to the devil. Listen to Jesus and come to him right now. And so what? So what, you say? So what if you don't hear the words of this message? So what if you don't come to Jesus? So what if you walk out those doors and keep looking for ways to fill your thirst with the things of this world? Here's what. If you continue down that same path, you'll fall into destruction and death. You see, there is not one sinner who rejects Jesus who will not end up burning in hell itself. Not only that, but Satan will blind you even more and drag you down into the depths of sin even more, and he will take you further than you wanted to go and keep you longer than you wanted to stay. How far will you go before you turn around? How deep will you go into the depths of hell before you turn around? God, he'll let you go as far as you want to. My wife spoke about it this morning. He will not interfere with our will. He won't stop you. He'll let us make our choice. But the whole time that you are running from him, his compassion for you, his love for you will never stop. You'll never forget the words of the messages that you've heard. You'll never forget that tug at your heart. You know how many people I've talked to that have at one time walked away from him and have told me, "Mark, every night I laid my head down, his word came echoing in my ears. There was not a day that went by without the reminders of his word that came flooding into my soul." Jesus will still love you even in your rebellion. He loved the whole world when no one loved him in return. He went to the cross, gave his life for you, just as we are right now. He still loves you and doesn't want your life or your soul to be destroyed. And so he's inviting you to come to him. This was an altar call that he made that day, letting people know, "You can come to me." There's this hunger, there's this desire, there's this thirst down deep inside that can only be filled with Him. The divine presence of God, known to the Jewish people as the Shekinah, is the manifestation of God that descended to dwell among humanity. God's presence living with His people. In the Old Testament, the Lord gave His instructions to a man named Moses to build a tabernacle where the Lord's presence could dwell among His people. That Shekinah, that glory of God, could dwell. It's always been God's desire. He wants to dwell with His people. He wants to live with His people. So Moses, he built the tabernacle just as God had instructed, and for generation after generation, the people of God had a place to go to commune with Him. But all of this would point to a day when God Almighty would come dwell in His people. Until then, the people every year would follow the priest to the pool of Siloam and watched while he dipped that cup into that pool and drew out the water. They shout and they praised and they danced when they followed Him to the altar to pour it out before the Lord and ask Him, Lord, come pour out Your presence on us, just like You promised that You would. They knew that there would be a day when God would do it, and oh, how they longed for that day. The writer of John, he starts off the book by telling us, John chapter 1, verse 14, he says, the Word, that's talking about God, was made flesh and lived with us, and we saw His glory. We saw His Shekinah, Emmanuel, God with us. But even more than just being with us, the prophet Joel prophesied about a day when God would live in us. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out My Spirit on all flesh. Everyone would have an opportunity to experience God for themselves. We wouldn't have to rely on generation after generation just following the priest up to that altar, singing and praising and behind him as he poured out to God. But now we get to experience God pouring into us. The ultimate victory that Jesus was pointing to when He stood on the last day of the feast was the day when He would pour out His Spirit on all humanity, man and woman, elder and child, Jew and Gentile, all of us. And He would come live within us. And after Jesus dies for our sins, He takes our punishment on Him, and He is buried and miraculously resurrects 3 days later, just like He promised He would. He tells His disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. And the end of another celebration called Pentecost, which was the celebration of thanking God for the harvest that He had provided after He had provided the rains that they needed to produce what they needed to produce. After the end of that celebration, God pours out the blessings just like He said He was going to. He pours out His presence. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Somebody say all. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The prophet Isaiah had prophesied about this day as well. He says this, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. He says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. That's a promise from God. Isaiah is saying, this is God's word to Isaiah. God's saying, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day that I'm going to pour out water on him that is thirsty. And floods upon the dry ground, I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. If I could have the music come back. See, I promised I wouldn't be long. I have to keep my promise. So my question for you here this morning is, who's thirsty? Who's thirsty? If you accept Him, if you come to Him, repenting of your sins, confessing that he is Lord, that he died for you and rose again, asking him to come into your heart. That river of living water, just like he promised, it will begin to overflow through you. Your whole world will change. Your life will take on the meaning that he's made for you. Jesus will break the chains that bind you and set you free. You'll be free to love, free to serve him, free to enjoy the life that he has given to you, free from guilt and shame. And you'll be free to enter into heaven when Jesus calls you home. And so what? What will you do with Jesus' invitation? It's open to all. If I could have everyone stand with me. The question remains, will you turn and go back to your own house, your own way, your own self-made eternal destiny? Many of those who heard the word of Jesus on that final day of the Feast of Tabernacles refused to accept his offer. What will you do this morning? Will you surrender your life to Jesus? Let him give you that river of living water in your soul. Let him give you the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost. Let him pour out the water on you right now so you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can we praise him for a moment, church? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Sometimes I'm cocooned in these walls where we come and praise and worship you, Jesus, and I forget that there's a whole world that's thirsty. God, I've been filled, but what about them? That thirst has been quenched in me forever, Lord. God, but what about the ones who have not received? Hallelujah. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would pour out your presence just as you promised you would. Oh God, with thirst, the Israelites followed behind the priest as he drew out of the pool of Siloam and dipped that golden pot in to follow them back to the altar where they would pour out before you, Jesus, and all the while dancing and singing and praising about the day, Lord, about the day that you would fill that thirst. Oh God, we're at that day. The wait is no more, Jesus. We don't have to wait. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. God, you are become our salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and for your grace, Jesus, for your mercy that has met us here once again. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.